case, the atmosphere of a drift to the left in Europe, which it seemed to me was quite apparent, that's where all the tension and crunch seemed to be. Looking at it from the standpoint of our long-term economic, just in a narrow sense, seems to me to indicate that the flow of investment funds, long-term investment funds, that we have seen in the last 5 years from Europe to the U.S. is going to increase. Now, there is this image that somehow one of the problems is that we have this big flow of long-term U.S. capital to Europe. And one of the things that I was trying to do is I turned around a little table that I pulled out and showed that it's not that way at all. The flow is from the Europe to the U.S. And I think that's going to continue.
Sure.
Just one feature of their common market, their common agricultural policy, that's probably the most controversial element with respect to us, and that's one where I think a strategy with respect to it on our part that is closely tuned to your overall objectives beyond the economics of it is very important. I felt they were ready by this time to talk about the problems that the CAP presents if they could not be forced to talk about the principle that it illustrates. And we have a fear. I know Earl Butz is planning to go and march around Europe, that we have a good atmosphere for discussing the problems. Now, we could upset it very easily by having a flamboyant trip on the subject. Well, those are sort of comments on one thing and another on that trip, which I found very interesting. And it's apparent that you stand very high there.
It's very easy to stand high in Royal Davis or anybody else except Mouse and Tiger.
Well,
and basically, you have to agree on the three to understand all the giants are gone now.
Heath
is a man of great character, but he represents a nothing country now, unfortunately. And all the rest represent nothing countries. And Europe is not going to get together. So it turns out that this thug Russia. Curious thing about the world of history, we used to think the days of God messages from over here, and I thought, what a tragedy that he couldn't have been born in England. In a hell of a lot of history. On the others. Yeah. You have you and Henry have talked at some length about this.
Some, not as much as I would like. Yet now, very useful to have along.
Yeah, but I want this to get into Henry's head so that as he sort of moved around the Russians, the rest and so forth, the Europeans, that we don't move in the political area without knowing what our economic story is and what our economic weakness is. Oh.
I'm really struck, Mr. President, by the problems of balance that we've got in our relations with all of these people. I mean, the point that George was making about the Europeans looking to the U.S. for leadership and, in effect, almost abdicating it. That's a real problem for us because that's fine. It enables us to get things we want in some cases, but it is not
helping.
Not helping. And we got some.
As a matter of fact, that's why every time anything happens in international monetary things, they say it's the big bad United States. What the hell is the U.S. going to do? Well, many times, remember that column of Freeman's many years ago, a couple of years ago, they said it isn't the dollar crisis, the market crisis. It probably was. But here we are with the lowest rate of inflation in the major industrial countries, and they all say, what the hell is the United States going to do about its inflation?
But it's a social erosion, too, isn't it, Al?
It's partly a habit. of the last 25 years.
Well, they become dependent on us, haven't they?
In
looking at leadership of the U.S., the U.S. talks in terms of,
the more they get it, the more they resent it, on the other hand. And it, and it creates a big problem, for example, among the left-wing youth in Germany.
Yeah, that worries the hell out of me. Sometime I want to talk to you and Henry about that separately, because that worries me. I think the left-wing youth in Germany will all machine apart. Left-wing youth.
They're going to have
a feeling that this unrest is very much on the surface in Britain. And you wonder if it isn't there just as much in France and Germany, but so much.
It's very deep in Germany, and of course, Brandt is a lot to be blamed for in creating this tiger. Now he's trying to ride it. They're going to have a big party conference in the next couple of weeks. The other area of balance is this question of our relations with the Russians. They are obviously queasy about it because they think we're making deals behind their backs. They were the ones that pressed us not to drag our feet on detente for years when we were playing it very cool and very
the United States was, and Robert, we were responsible for tensions in the world with it because we were not getting along with the big bag of bad Russians. I remember they kept my numbers.
Now,
they're worried a hell about
it. We've got a problem of balance here. On the one hand, it gives us leverage on the Europeans, but if we overdo it with the Soviets, particularly in things that directly affect the Europeans, we'll create precisely the kind of third force isolationist tendency in Europe. So it's going to have to be a very delicately run operation where we have to avoid some temptations that the Soviets, of course, are very much interested in tossing our way. And Brezhnev is very shrewd in this respect. Whatever his real motives are, he wants to play the big boy game and he wants to line us up against the Chinese and against the Japanese and the Europeans. To some extent, okay, but we got to be awfully careful that we don't get sucked into this to such an extent that we demoralize all these people and then go off.
Well, we've got to be concerned with the Russians on that deal.
Well, that's right. And it's the same problem in Salt and on MBFR. And we've got to be careful on the common market where the Soviets, they didn't do it with you, they did it with Peterson last summer where they said, look, you and we are the two outs on the common market, let's just get together and gang up them. Well, there are some things that one can do in that respect.
Their purpose is really not to get along with us as much as to have Europe fragmentized to.
That's right. So I think we have, now that we've opened up everything and everything is fluid and we've got the Russians obviously interested, I think George is absolutely right about the long-term interest. It's interesting in the case of Brezhnev, who's after all, you know, in his late 60s, he will be around to see a lot of this stuff.
She has late 60s.
He looks, as you know, 10 years younger than that. He isn't going to be around in 1985 when a gas deal would really begin to bear fruit. But it's interesting that he's thinking in those terms.
That's an interesting thing about the age of Russia. Of course, even in space, the Chinese.
There's some younger men coming along, and I think Brezhnev is trying to rig the succession so that he skips over the generation immediately beneath him and goes to a younger group. He's trying to work that. But anyhow, I think this problem of balance.
Part of the problem of Germany and the British and the French and all the rest and Dutch and everything. So put yourself in their position. We talk about our problems. The problem of our country, bitching about the fact that we have betrayed this horrible burden of arms, this horrible burden of leadership, this horrible burden of war that we just got over and all the rest. Squeezed too often. do they matter? And they don't matter. That's why, basically, in the old days, I always felt, I always thought, and I know this was the feeling of the German youth, even when I was there in the 60s, when I thought of Augustine. The concept of a united Europe was terribly important, so that they wouldn't mean something. They would have some meaning in the world, you know, other than outside of their own little chicken yard. But they aren't getting together, they're not going to be a damn thing.
That doesn't grab those kids.
Not anymore.
Those people are now the bureaucrats, that, and some of them quite good, the people that were...
Yeah, the old, in other words, the Monet group.
The kids that were young in the late 40s and 50s,
yeah,
and that were inspired by the European idea, are now the Poles,
right,
and these people,
right,
that
were...
Now
tell me about the young kids. The young kids don't give a damn about that.
No.
In other words, they know that that's an illusion.
At least one, I guess one shouldn't generalize, but
well,
certainly
but
the academic youth...
Yeah, the point is that if they, it shows you, their real problem is an enormous frustration.
Yes.
They just haven't done a damn thing to be born. I mean, they would be better, much better off if they had our kind of problems.
They're either totally turned inward and concerned with problems of the soul and hedonistic problems, or they think in huge universal categories.
Both.
Ideas,
sure.
But not the middle, which makes things tick.
Okay, well, let's go on and decide what we're going to do about unemployment insurance, pension reform.
Judging the quality of the
assets held by pension funds, and the government getting deeper into the management of the funds itself. In that sense,
since it cuts across both management layer issues and treasury, in my opinion.
Okay, well, that's my view.
You just got to say that.
I'm perfectly willing to put it at
this point. No, I guess I'd say that's the only way that I can solve it. John, would you agree with that a little differently?
I really don't know the pros and cons of this.
Well,
I haven't seen the paper on it.
The labor department bureaucrats over there will tend to be out to scrutiny.
Are we going to staff this through, George, so that this comes in some kind of an orderly manner?
Well, we have. Our idea is to have the trade bill, the pension package, the unemployment insurance package, all ready to go at the same time. We put them up, and the pensions are tied in because they are a way of handling the adjustment.
Well, we got to crack at this then, so the president will see where the pros and cons are.
Well, he's got a memorandum, and we have had innumerable meetings involving.
Where's the memorandum? Is it pending here?
It's been sent over here.
Okay. Well, that's probably the president reading something.
But the main thing that I need to do is first, I've got to balance the equities among these departments. I don't want them to come running in here and say, I got screwed.
But if I could suggest that you just
reserve. I've already talked about this termination thing, and I think with Brennan, what I meant is, you talked about it in terms of the trade. It's an awfully important part of the trade thing.
I just hate to see a touchy thing like this come
at you. I don't want to approve it finally until I get a crack to, and how violent the opposition is.
There's a thread running all through this, is there not, George, of Pete Brennan and his sensitivity to some of these issues and some problems that we've got?
Yeah.
And then on the other side, some very strong business representations. I'm hearing from the Chamber of Commerce, for instance, they're already getting wind of this. And there we begin to get very touchy. And, of course, they've stepped out front on the budget thing. And they're making a big point of that with us.
Playing a doctor for that reason today. We've got to choke him with a couple of things. Well, I don't want to destroy our budget fight with this.
I just hang a few red flags on this, George. I think we have to balance these and not just take them one at a time. Let's go through the package.
We're not going to move on agriculture at this time only, which I feel very strongly we have to move on only because we need those agricultural congressmen and so forth to support us in some of the details. So we've got to think of some of these this way. And I'm not sure, John, this was it is and that.
I can't say that.
Well, let's see. We've got to evaluate it in terms of how much.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Unemployment insurance. I think that's the termination insurance is a problem that has the management people are more concerned about labor getting its hands on the management of their assets than anything else. So that's why the organization.
What about unemployment insurance now?
Here we have extension of coverage to farm workers, which is the same as you recommended in 1969, and which has a lot of support around Reaganism, for example. Anxious to have that.
Reaganist?
Yeah. Well, he feels that California is being pushed to do it, and that
there is a
competitive advantage. He wants to have a national base. That's his angle of view on it. But at any rate, this is something we supported before, and the ag bus goes along with it.
Bus is for it.
Now, the big issue here, and this is one that we talked about before, is federal standards for benefit levels.
Unemployment insurance?
Yes. Remember, you may remember going way back to the Eisenhower administration, President Eisenhower put forward these standards to be met by the states. You put them forward in 69, and we were going to go for federal standards then, but you remember the Republicans on Ways and Means just wouldn't buy it at all. So we backed off, and you put in a sentence saying, that here are the standards, and if the states don't meet them, there will have to be federal action. Well, the labor union people, this is a very big thing with them. And want this. And I think on a substantive basis, you have Arthur Burns likes this kind of an idea. The economists of the world think it's a good thing to do, to get these benefit levels more adequate.
The business people are vital on this.
Yeah. The business people are violent on it. And some of the state people are violent on it. Because it is going to raise the benefits and it is going to raise
the tax. I think here, John, I've got to get some jobs checking for the tenants crowd. I've got to see where it affects. Right at the front, you've got to fight one battle at a time. I've got to be sure that on the tenants crowd.
Well, whatever comes to you for final decision on this, I'll have tenants input too. And the intergovernmental relations guys are just getting bombed on this,
Sure. Well, it's a big price for me here. Now,
I won't mention for the damn state legislators.
The Ash, Brennan, Bucks, Cole, Flanagan, Stein, I all recommend this. Cole is an attractive business. It is a.
Let me say, I am for it. I also know that we can only take on so many battles at a time. I don't want to do something here and not get either this or hold my budget. Let's take one. When can we take another look at this?
Well, when I get back, if the paper is here, we can do it in California.
Right. I'd like to take the unemployment thing. Go ahead and be here. Send it out. Because I won't be able to get at it until after Tuesday round. And I've got to get that damn meeting in two days. But I can do it on Wednesday and Thursday out there. I'd like to study it a little.
Now, going beyond the big apple there is the federal standards for benefit levels in government. Now, Brennan, he's for that. He sort of says, well, that's in the bid now, and let's go out on other things. And he wants to bargain further. And here is where the axis of the problem is. Last time, when we went up with unemployment compensation, we proposed that state laws that allow unemployment benefits to be paid to strikers be disallowed by the federal law. That affects New York and it affects Rhode Island. There's no doubt about the fact that the New York law prolongs strikes. Even Brennan will admit that. On the other hand, this is something labor wants. George Meany, when he was head of the AFL in New York, got this in the New York law. He prized it. I took him on it when I was Secretary of Labor. We didn't get it passed, but I think my own view is that if we go up with federal standards and we don't stick with that, the employers of this world will say we're out of our mind. But Brennan is against that. And wants to have higher benefits and pay for strikers.
We cannot. They cannot. We have to get rolled on that. There's never going to be any damn unemployment insurance paid to strikers.
Well, that is. He is alone on that.
But let's describe the dimension of his passion on this too. He's really really uptight, and he's talking about his special relationship with the president and that. And
he has a letter in here, which is in the file that you have, describes why he doesn't agree to go along with this. Fred Dent has a letter in on it too. He's on the other side, obviously. Then there's another issue in the area involving the duration of benefits. You remember last time we put this trigger mechanism in for extended benefits. Labor now proposes that we just increase the duration of benefits for everybody from 26 weeks to 39 weeks, and then we tack the extended benefits things that we had before onto the end of 39 weeks instead of what we had before. In other words, you just put another 13 weeks of automatic UI benefits in the system. Once again, everybody else thinks that we shouldn't do that. Brennan is very strong for it, and he's passionate on that subject, too. I don't think he appreciates two sides of these issues. I went yesterday, just by an example, to swear in Bill Usher at Bill's request, and Pete was the lead-off speaker, and then they had Hunter Wharton represented to a meeting there. They had nobody from management there, and then I actually performed the swearing in. And Pete said, well, he was glad to see Bill Usher in this job because that meant the two key jobs in the labor management area were held by labor union representatives. And furthermore, we got three more labor union representatives in the department. And if people object to it, he said, I don't see no labor guys over there in the Commerce Department. Why should we have any management people in the labor department? He's saying, here are these management people out there, and Usher is supposed to be an in-between guy, and he's been very successful.
He's pretty great.
And he'll get along all right, but it
was... What I want to do, what he had to do with Brent, says, I got to get the whole band package in here. And then, John, we got to say, look, we got this, look, there's too much on the plate. We got this and that and the other. And then we'll put it out over a period of time. You're going to win on this, you're going to lose on that, or postpone this, or that. But let me, you just can't do it. You can't choke him. So you don't get all this, or you do get all that. Either way, I know that. But I think that with Brennan, it's going to have to be handled in a damn tough way. But I think we've got to handle it right here. Once I see what the packages are, what it is. Does that sound right to you, John?
That's what you have to do. Have to continue again before I have
to quiet and go out and sell it. And I have to say, Pete, you can't win them all. But you have to be solid up a little bit.
Well, we have another issue with him on the minimum wage. He has to testify next week on that. And here, there is the question of coverage, which he wants to extend. There is the question of level, which he is not too bad on, I think, although I'm not going to that by
coverage
by others. And then there's the question
of state legislators must see that.
Okay.
Then there's your question. I'll
have to leave it for that. All right, coverage, go ahead. Level.
Coverage, level, and the youth differential. And he wants to basically water the youth differential way down to cover quite a few additional workers and have the level go up immediately to $2 and then scale down from that. Well, I believe that if there's going to be a bill, it's going to be a $2 bill.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
we cannot defeat a $2 bill. That I realize.
We could go in. One thought would be to go in where Erlenborn is with $1.80 and let that be bargained up to $2 so we have something there. Not to extend coverage and to insist for non-students on a reasonable youth differential for 16 and 17-year-olds. Now, Erlenborn, I notice, has dropped the 18 and 19-year-olds out of his bill. And I think the politics of the thing, since the last time around, has changed some. Since these 18-year-olds all vote, nobody wants them.
Yeah. Well, there's another point here, too. Two ways to skin this cat. And we've got to, of course, you've got the problem with Brandon's testimony. But you've also got the point that the Congress can do some of the work that needs to be done on this. I mean, for us.
Well, if we don't take a somewhat conservative stance on the minimum wage, then it's off to the races.
Yes, right.
There's nobody, there's no leadership then.
Now, the youth differential. Can't do it. Youth differential vote.
Yeah, a lot will depend on what he testifies to.
Right. Brandon testifies to
what kind of bill ends up here eventually. Yeah. And if he goes up there and speaks his heart, you're going to get something in the program.
They'll
beat us over the head with whatever he says.
Boy, I better take a look at that one. I know the problems with him, but basically that's what he's here to do. And we just got to have a hunker down and talk with him. And the politics has got to be discussed with him.
Well, he thinks the politics, of course, are all on his side. Because he thinks of labor politics.
I know.
He didn't see that there's many other politics.
Speaking of the politics, basically, of keeping the budget in line and keeping keeping our own constituency in mind up there, the kind of stuff that's involved here.
Before you go on that, he's looking to testify next Thursday. Maybe we should come out to San Clemente Wednesday and have him go around on this whole package. Although that's late for his testimony.
It could be the, you better get the minimum wage.
Maybe if he worked a little more on that, he wouldn't work so hard on these others. That's the most important thing, and it's something that...
You're not for it?
Oh, I'm very much for it. I think it's a good
thing. What do you mean? I have to bring it back to Earth, and I have to tell him we're not for it?
No, I mean, he considers that settled. And then he goes on from there to the strikers and so forth. And if I say, look, the president's basically in favor of it, but
we got a hell of a problem.
It's a hell of a problem, and you better talk to the president and buck him up a little on it, see if you can't persuade him, put him in that position a little bit. Or talk to Ehrlichman or somebody.
Well, that's right. I'm going to talk to him myself on him, but I just need the ground damn well plowed before I get there. He's a bargainer. He's a labor leader.
There is one thing on the trade bill. There are two items here. One in particular, I think I might get to the register on. Now, we've talked about a surcharge on a general or selective basis. There is a major issue as to whether the selective application of the surcharge should be put in terms of your being able to do it with due regard for international obligations, but nevertheless unilaterally able to do it, or to say that it will be done, but only when it is in accord with internationally developed MFN principles. You have, I think, Henry feels very strongly on this.
Which way?
We must observe our international obligations, and we can't break out of that pattern. State feels that way. SDR feels that way. The other side of it is, and I guess Treasury is more on this side than anybody, that if you're going to negotiate anything meaningful in the way of
international... I disagree with the NSC on this.
You have to be able to have the possibility...
No,
of
on this, I'm going to be out front. Let the Congress bring us back to this if necessary. I understand the concerns here, and that the Canadians will squeal, and the British will squeal, and the Europeans will squeal, and so forth, but they seldom do a goddamn thing for us on this. No, I don't take the NSC. Do I know this argument?
Well,
incidentally, Mills feels this way, too. This is one that we can give Mills
something. Well, he's
flip-flopped
that.
Oh, I know. Mills will talk. He'll say, we got to do everything and go for the gap and all that a little bit. Mills will talk that way. But on the other hand, if he gets out there in the floor, he's going to be jumping up and down and hollering. He's got to have a negotiating and bargaining position. So on that one, Henry would have been opposed even to the surcharge of August 15th.
And for international reasons, or very good reasons, and we should never have done it. But we had to do it for other reasons. And this is an instance here where we'll do just, I want the bargaining position here to be very, very strong. I just got to take some heat on this one. Now, you can't, I know all the arguments about it. Put in some fuzzy language indicating that we will this off as much as possible, do this or that. But I want the strongest possible bargaining position on this one that we can have.
The other strong issue of the trade bill has to do with the MFN for communist countries. And as of yesterday morning, as Henry and I talked about this, it seemed as though that the strategy is to put it in as presidential authority in the trade bill and to work along at the Soviet problem. And if it seems that we have a propitious moment for breaking out the Soviet part of it and going for it by itself, well, do that. But right now it doesn't seem to be quite the time. We have this proposal that Javits made that I described to you, you're familiar with, that looked like a very good idea. Mills is just deeply opposed to it. And so our thought is not to put it in that way, but to have it as a possible fallback in discussions in the committee.
have to go all out for it, don't you agree?
Yeah, but the problem is that if Jackson on the Senate side and Vanity Mills on the other side have signed up these people on this thing, it's an impossible position for you to be put into to certify freedom of immigration. That's a metaphysical thing. You can't ever certify that. So we can't help them. You almost have to veto the bill if it comes out that way. I don't know. My own feeling is we'll have to go with it as a signal to the Russians and hope that they understand that they've got to put in a pattern of performance on the immigration issue. And if that's sunk in for a period of months, perhaps we can turn the Jackson Amendment into something that you can live with. He's, of course, Scoop is very, very suspicious. He says the Russians are going to do this for 3 months, and when they've got their MMM, they'll squeeze again. My feeling is we need a little time and need more news showing that this thing is turning around on the other side. I don't see at the moment any basis for bargaining with these people, with Jackson and Mills in there. And if Javits had been right, that you could have weaned away a lot of supporters from the Jackson Amendment by this veto procedure, and then I think we might have had something.
Well, I think he is right to a considerable degree. The trouble is he isn't right with respect to Mills.
That's right. That's right.
Mills is in a deep spot. Mills is in a destroying that. Now, I want everybody to understand that there's going to be bullshit on that.